Waiting on the Lord can be one of the hardest things to do, but the rewards can be overwhelming, as we hear from our teacher, Mike McIntosh.
You see, we don't know what God is doing, and that's okay. But don't get frustrated about it. Just wait on the Lord. Keep those scriptures in mind. Wait on the Lord. And again, I say, wait, the scriptures say. So wait on the Lord and renew your strength. And you say, well, he's always done it this way before. Well, maybe he wants to do it a little different this time. Amazing. Just amazing when we let him be the Lord and us be the servant. And he's got all creation waiting for us. We'll have enough time to figure everything out in eternity. We don't have to control it right now. Just let him be the Lord and we follow him.
And I'll stand up and shout and I'll praise you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing and I'll thank you, Lord Jesus.
Understanding our relationship to God and realizing He is the Lord of all is paramount to living in His righteousness. Today on Chapter and Verse, we continue our series in the Gospel of Mark. Are there times in your life when you just don't understand perhaps why you're in the circumstance you find yourself in? Or maybe you don't understand what the Lord is trying to teach you? Well, don't feel bad. You're not alone. In fact, in regards to the parables, Jesus said to the apostles who were with Him on a daily basis, "Are ye also yet without understanding?" Let's join Mike as he sheds some light on the subject from Mark chapter 7.
Everything that the temple had is built today pretty much. At that time, they could not engineer or figure out, at that time at least, how to make the golden menorah. Because a solid gold menorah would be so heavy that the branches would break. And I said, so what would that cost? And then it was over $25 million. I said, so do you need help raising money for that menorah? And they said, no, we've got the money. I said, oh, really? Well, now they've got all sorts of things going on over there. And somebody has a peace plan that they haven't laid out yet. But there's this talk of a peace plan, which is very interesting. And when a man of peace comes up and peace and safety is spoken of, we'll probably all be gone at that point. And the temple is going to be built. And this man of peace, who is the son of perdition, is going to bring peace among the Jews and the Muslims. But it won't be for long. So we're living in a very exciting time. And it's so good to know that these Pharisees were really sort of a catalyst for fake Christian priest ministers types of thought and theology that really are not biblical. It only perpetuates man and their organizations. We don't follow man. It was Charles Spurgeon, I think, that said, don't follow the pastor, and he was a great pastor, follow the master. Only follow the pastor if he's following the master. And it's between you and God. There's one mediator between man and God. And that's the man, Jesus Christ. He's the only one. And he is the one that loves you so much that he died for you. He loves you. And he wants you, while you're here in Tustin, he wants you to be the best you can possibly be in him without some religious restraints. But whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So we're watching these disciples being taught through everyday life and experience, faith. Hearing his word, watching him with people. And you and I need to be watching and listening and living what we believe. So they said to him, well, did you Isaiah speak of you? So he's quoting the scriptures, and also it is endorsing that Isaiah is a real book and that it's from God. You hypocrites, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, in vain. Remember, they're rowing in vain, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandments of God, you hold the traditions of men, the washing of pitchers and cups and many other such things you do. And he said to them, all too well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your traditions. Wow. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses his father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever you profit you might receive from me is Corban, that is a gain or a gift to God. And then you no longer let him do anything for his father or his mother, making the word of God of no effect. And that's a powerful statement, that they can make the word of God no effect by giving a tradition that you and I should follow. It makes the word of God no effect because they don't teach the word of God when the people come, but the people know how to genuflex. They know how to repeat the Apostle Creed and all these things that were memorized by man. That makes it all null and void. So you're underneath this religious thing that you're not free to really know him. And that's the importance of you knowing God through the word, so you never get trapped in a situation like that. And when he had called them, all the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear me, everyone, and understand. There is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile him. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And when he had entered a house away from the crowd, his disciples asked him concerning this parable. See, they're still learning. So he said to them, are you thus without understanding also? He's getting a little short with him. Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him? Because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and it's eliminated, thus purifying all foods. And he said, what comes out of a man that defiles a man? For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness. It sounds like a lineup on television, doesn't it? All the shows. Wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within. That's what defiles a man. And you can see that this whole world is all of this. Plus the hard attitude of 2 Timothy chapter 3, that it tells what the attitude will be at the end of the age. Now Jesus says, this all comes from inside men's hearts, basically, that have not been born again and regenerated. And that's really what entertainment is all about, all of this fleshly stuff. And we see things on television that we just take for granted. Kids take death for granted because they've played hundreds and hundreds of hours of video games. But in the real world, you don't respawn once you've been killed. You lay dead on the street. But yet when your heart is hardened, it's been beaten down away from the Word of God, which washes you and cleanses you, and it's exposed to all these things, those attitudes of adultery and lust and anger and bitterness, which are fruit of the flesh, from Galatians 5:19. These things, that's what defiles us. It's not eating a chicken that hasn't been fried. It's not having pork sausages that defiles you. It's what's coming out. Remember, Jesus said, from the lips proceed the abundance of your heart. And I remember Chuck's assistant pastor, Romaine, said to Don McClure and me one day when we were just interns, very young in the Lord and in the ministry, he said, when you're sitting down and counseling with people, you listen to everything they say, because they're not going to tell you what the real problem is. Just listen. But when they come to the word but, erase everything they've said, even if it's 30 minutes of counseling. Now the real story is going to come out. And boy, I saw that for 50 years to be so true. People will tell you about anything, and they aren't telling you anything. So you wait, and inevitably, at about 20 to 30 minutes into it. But, however, you see, my dad said, and now we're getting the story. So when you're talking to anybody, the lips is what's coming out of the heart. Just wait for that word, but, and then you'll get the real story. If you're a police officer, you know this very well, because everybody has a story for a police officer. That's true. And I remember our chief, I used to be a reserve when he was a captain, and he was my captain, and he became the mayor. And I invited him to some place to dedicate something. I forget exactly what it was, but he came. And he said, so whatever he said, I said, well, yeah, but you see, and he said, oh, here comes the story. And I realized, I'm sorry. You're absolutely right, sir. Yes, sir. Don't make up a story. Just listen. But the evilness dwells in people's hearts. They may have a form of godliness, and they're denying it. And you could get conned or scammed by somebody that's not truly a spiritual person. Just listen. Just wait. And the lie will come out. And the light will shine, and you'll know the truth. So it's not men's traditions that we're after. It's after the truth of God's word and the love of His Son who died for us to follow Him. So tonight, let's just take some time as we get ready to leave and let the Holy Spirit speak to us. Let's see if we're straining against the wind. They knew which way to go in the wind. What happened to their heads? They were 3 weeks or 3 days behind, still working on feeding the 5,000. And they miss the joy of legion being clothed and sitting at the feet of Jesus and in His right mind. They were too busy getting the seaweed and the kelp out of their beards and their hair because they were so afraid, don't you care that we die? We're not dying. Jesus was just taking a rest. He said we're going over, not under. So what happens when we get behind? As a pilot, we're taught right away, and faster the airplane, the further ahead you have to go. When you go from a Piper Cub, that's a whole different thing. It's 60 miles per hour. You can just hang your arm out the window and cruise a mile and a half off the freeway and go all the way across the country, enjoy the sight. But when you're flying a Citation jet and you're moving at 543 miles per hour, you've got to be thinking about 3 to 5 minutes ahead of that plane and where your maps are taking you and what you're going to do. You just can't say, oh, we're going to turn right here because you're moving too fast. So older we get in the Lord, we don't want to get behind the Lord, the curve. It's called the power curve. These guys are still catching up, and the Lord is being patient, but He's still moving forward. And immediately things happen when He keeps moving forward. Let us stand and let us seek the Lord for a little bit of time here and let these pictures settle into our hearts and our minds and let Him speak to you. He wants to use you like you've never been used before. He has so much, and there are so many people like these crowds running with their friends and laying the people down, putting them in position to be touched by Jesus. And that's all around us right now tonight. And we need to be on our toes. And yes, sir, whatever you say, sir. And let Him just work through you with His love. Let Him heal hearts and minds. Last night, after the service, I wanted to cast my vote, so I asked if they'd take me to In-N-Out Burger in Vegas. And that whole thing was such a ridiculous deal, you know. Let's boycott In-N-Out Burger. I told Sandy, how stupid are these people in politics? Nobody would give up a burger for a Democrat or for a Republican. Not an In-N-Out Burger. And they made more money this weekend than the last few days of the thousands of people that weren't going to even go to In-N-Out. Flooded them. It was crazy. So we were in this long line last night about 10 o'clock, and there was a man sitting on the curb, And I kept saying, do you think that guy is a con? Says that he's a homeless veteran. I don't know. The pastor said, I don't know. You know, sometimes you try to help these people and they're just going to go get drugs or something. I kept having a burden for him. So this young woman came up and said, could I take your order? So there's about 6 or 8, 10 cars in front of us. And I said, excuse me. And I went over to talk to this man. And while I'm over there, he's witnessing to her. He's the youth pastor and the college pastor. And he's given a church card to her and telling her there's two women that work here. And she was best friends with both of them, but they'd never invited her to church. She said, I'm going to talk to them. I'm going to come to your meetings that you have for the college kids. I'd love to go there. So he's there working with her, and she's following him along in the line and not taking orders. And I go over here, and here's this guy, and he's just, you could tell that there was a problem. And I said, hey, how you doing? Are you a Marine? Army? He said, no, Marine. And I said, action? Iraq? Yes, Iraq and Fallujah. And I said, that was a bloodbath in Fallujah. Imagine you just saw horrible things. I was in northern Iraq twice in the last 3 years, and pretty dangerous place. And here's some money. I've got some money, and I'd like to give this to you. But also, here's this card. And he said, what's that card? And I said, that man there is a pastor, and their church is about a mile, half mile from here. And he said, really? And so he took the money, he took the card. And I said, now I want to tell you something. You could be conning me. And he turned around and looked at me. And I said, if you're conning me, that's okay. This money is from Jesus. And you can talk to him about it, that you conned him maybe, huh? He said, no, I'm not conning you. I said, so why are you on the street? Now, you could see that he had some traumatic physical issues, maybe a shell shock or something in the head. But he said to me, I came here to find help. And my grandparents told me I could come and stay with them. And so I get here, and then all of a sudden, they lost their house, and there was no place to stay, and they didn't have any money. I'm on the street. I can't find a job. I've got some handicaps here. And I said, well, this card. He said, stop. This card is more valuable to me than the money you just gave me. I said, really? Could you tell me why? He said, because it tells me somebody cares. I said, well, God really cares for you, sir. He said, it's just so hard to believe because people don't care for me. And I'm so ashamed that I'm sitting here with a sign. I can't even stand up physically well. And I'm hungry. And I appreciate the money. But to know that I could call this place and somebody to actually talk to me? And I said, absolutely. In fact, I encourage you, if you're doing drugs, I don't know if you are, and you're overdosing, I want you to call. If you are starving, you haven't eaten for a day or two, I want you to call. If you don't have a place to take a shower, whatever your issue is, don't compare God to man. These are God's people, and I'm just getting to know them. And they will send somebody immediately. And not just pastors. They'll send people from the church like you guys do. And he just, you know, he choked up. He said, this card means everything to me that I've got somebody that cares. I felt sorry for him, but the Lord got him. And he got the college girl that was taking the orders that she's going to be at church Tuesday night with her two friends that have never witnessed to her. And so their pastor is going to talk to him before Tuesday and say, you've got to bring her. She was hungry to hear about the things of God. And we involved her. Do you know that guy? I don't know him. Do you have a lot of people? Oh, we have people here all the time, those signs that will work for food, or, you know, they're mooching and they're just drunk or stoned. But that man, well, I don't know him, but he looks like he's a pretty normal person to me. I think you should feel free to go talk to him. I said, well, thank you. Now, she got touched, and she's got two friends that have never witnessed to her, and she saw the compassion of God, and who knows what God's going to do. Such a simple little thing. A woman with stage 4 breast cancer with her friends at church, and she hears about Kathy, and she got so much hope. I'm not giving up hope. This lady was given 2 months. It's been a year and a half. Really? Yes. The Lord wants to do something with you. They're all around us. They just need a touch, a tender touch of God, to just love them and care for them. Head knowledge, that's one thing. But the knowledge that makes your feet and your heart move towards other people is the real deal. So, Father, tonight, we thank you for this auditorium, for the air conditioning, the lights, the carpets, the amplifiers, all the things that we take for granted as Christians of, quote-unquote, going to church. And, Lord, you're so way beyond that. We don't want to be hung up on yesterday or 3 days ago. We want to be where you are and what you're doing now. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, would you just move gently in our midst? These are your sons. These are your daughters. These are your kids. And you've been waiting for them this evening. And here we are. We love you. We love you and we thank you so much that we can look at people that ran ahead of Jesus to go get their neighbors and lay them out there and beg Jesus to touch them. And as many as touched him, they were healed. If somebody hadn't cared and gone and carried them or held them in their arms, nobody would have been touched by Jesus. And that just shows us a great picture that we can be proud and arrogant about what we believe and the traditions we hold more so than loving people. And Jesus, you're the one that said, love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all of your strength. And that means like the Marine on the curb last night, he didn't have much strength, but whatever he had, if he'd just put it towards you, God, you'd help him. And then Jesus, you said, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. And these two commandments hang the law and the prophets. And we thank you, God, that love covers a multitude of sin, and perfect love casts out all fear. And that we don't ever need to worry or fear again, because you're with us and you're not going to pass us by. So touch these men and women tonight. Touch them with your love. And let them hear your soft, gentle voice. And we pray for the United States of America, you'll have mercy. Lord, we deserve judgment as a people, but we are a remnant. And we cry out, God, have mercy on this country. Bless all the men and women that are on the streets that protect us in law enforcement tonight. Bless all the military personnel that are out to sea. They're in Afghanistan or Iraq, or they're down in the jungles of Colombia. They're undercover in Mexico. We pray, God, that the power of your Holy Spirit would baptize us afresh. Our focus would be clear. Our thoughts would be clear. Our hearts, with clarity, will lift you up in your name. Touch us tonight, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray.
With those words from Mike, we bring to a close today's broadcast and our lesson, Jesus Walks on the Water, taken from the Gospel of Mark. As Jesus told us, it's what comes out of a person that defiles them. Yes, eating poorly can have a negative impact on our health, but what's going on in our heart rather than our stomachs can have a far more devastating impact on our souls. We need to daily spend time in prayer, reading God's Word, and asking for Him to cleanse our hearts and minds and fill them with His Spirit. If you'd like to review this message, you can do so online when it's convenient for you. Just log on to our website at MikeMacintosh.com. That's MikeMacintosh.com and click on the teaching link. And then go to the sermon page for not only this series through Mark, but nearly the entire Bible from Pastor Mike. Again, log in at MikeMacintosh.com and look for the Mark 2018 series. As we close our broadcast for today, I want to remind you that Chapter and Verse is heard each weekday on this radio station thanks to the financial gifts we receive from you, our listening audience. If you've been ministered to through this outreach, please consider making a financial gift. And of course, we very much appreciate you taking a moment to pray for us here at CNV Radio. You can write to us at Chapter and Verse, Box 231150, San Diego, California, 92193. That's Chapter and Verse, Box 231150, San Diego, California, 92193. You can also give online securely at MikeMacintosh.com. Thanks for joining us today on CNV. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.